welcome to Promo Insiders, an ASI media podcast that covers the issues that matter most to the promotional products industry. I'm Chris Ruvo for ASI, and today I'm talking with longtime industry leader Jeff Lederer. It's been nearly a year since Gig Myron Holdings, an investment firm Lederer spearheads, acquired top 40 distributorship Myron. A key goal of the acquisition was to turn the firm into a major industry powerhouse again, following some tougher times. In late February, Gig advanced that effort with the acquisition of Schneider GmbH, a company headquartered in Hamburg, Germany, that provides promotional products and B2C furnishing and decoration for the home and office. Lederer is here today to talk a bit about that acquisition and much more, offering deeper insights into the actions he and his team are undertaking to revitalize Myron and maybe even to shake up the industry a bit. Jeff, thanks for being with me today.
My pleasure.
All right, so first question here I got for you is just why this acquisition? Why buy this company? I said Hamburg in the introduction, but I think it's Hamburg, Germany. Why buy Schneider in Hamburg, Germany?
Well, I'm not going to test you with my German, but
got it.
It fit really into our strategy of growing the European business, focusing more on e-commerce as well as B2C and B2B business. And while our business is e-commerce in Europe, this one was solely focused on that for many years and had a great infrastructure, a great team, and also focused on the B2C side, as you mentioned, furniture and other related products that we found interesting, not only for what those products are, but for us to be able to use that as another vehicle to drive growth.
Interesting. So just can you unpack the B2C component a little bit, how that like ties into the bigger business model that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're a warehousing company. We import products from all over the world, and we have distribution. And so while we can work in the promotional products industry and sell branded products to the end user or distributors or suppliers, for that matter, we also have the ability to sell to other industries and other verticals like B2C. And we, since we do the pick, pack, warehouse, and fulfillment, we can expand with that type of a business and product range.
All right. Very interesting. Off the cuff here, just curious, do you think more companies in our industry might try to go that route, like diversifying in that way if they have the infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, look, I caution anyone, focus is really critical in any business. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that our focus is second to none. The moment that you start trying to go in all sorts of different directions, it can hurt businesses. In our case, what we really particularly liked about this is that a lot of the businesses that we're working with to sell promotional products, they also have a need for office furniture and other products for not only their office, but also for their home. So it was at our ability to leverage those existing customers and those relationships to sell other products to. And if that works, we can also try that here in the States.
All right. Interesting. Nice segue there, maybe to next question, which is, I think I mentioned in the intro, it's been nearly a year now since you and Gig acquired Myron. And, you mentioned I respected your boldness when you made that acquisition. And you said, hey, we really want to kind of build Myron into a powerhouse again. Beyond this acquisition, which is, of course, notable, are there other steps that you've taken so far to advance that goal?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at deals all the time. Deals take on a life of their own. This one happened to be a little quicker than some other deals we have been working on or are looking at. And that's just the way it goes. There's several in North America that were at different stages of research and we're going to take our time with it because our key focus is making sure that Myron is successful and focus on the core business. And when it's the right time, we're going to buy another company, merge it with what we're doing here, and it's going to be accretive to the shareholders and the employees and customers.
All right. So there's these deals in the works, and is there, I know you probably can't say too much, but is there a theme to them? Are you trying to build out different aspects or move into different verticals or channels, kind of make it complementary? Is it all kind of focused in one? I'm just kind of curious what that mapping of the acquisition strategy might look like.
Yeah, it's like anything. Well, first of all, at Prime, we did a lot of acquisitions over the years, mm-hmm. 10 different acquisitions over the period of time, 12 years or so. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they're looked at based on check the off a certain number of boxes, whether it's warehousing, whether it's a technology that they have, maybe it's people that they have, maybe it's a product range, maybe it's a slightly different go-to-market, or it's a different price point. And so we look at that, we check off the boxes to see if it fits those criteria. And that, at every step in the process, we continue to challenge that to make sure that it fits within the strategy of trying to grow and build shareholder value.
All right, makes a lot of sense. Beyond the acquisitions, obviously that's a big way you're looking to grow. Is there other things that you're looking to drive growth with, other strategies you're pursuing?
Well, look, we're singularly focused on growing this business and growing value. We're focused on creating employee, shareholder, customer value. I mean, that's critical, but easy to say that, but to focus on that and create our objectives around that, very similar to what I've done in previous years, but focus our efforts on creating very clear vision and clear objectives to focus on creating the ultimate value for customers internally and externally and shareholders and the like.
Interesting.
Our first task was to stabilize. Yeah. And our first task was to stabilize the business, which we did within about 3 months.
Okay. Can you give us, can I stop you there for a second? And, could you give us you're on air dirty laundry, but is there like, how bad were things? Like, was it close to the brink? So to speak, there, did you have to bring it back from the brink, you felt, or?
It wasn't to the brink, but I think it required a new set of leadership to make it successful. But taking nothing away from the team that was there before, and in many cases that team is still there, but focused on a very different set of priorities and a very focused set of priorities. And there were things that you'd look at didn't make sense, and we changed that. And so, I mean, I'm happy to describe some of it. There was a scenario where we had a massive office in China and we didn't need it so big just because we know how to do that without having a massive office. So, I mean, there's just some changes, and there were areas that were, departments weren't talking to each other, and now we're getting to talk. Culture is so critical in organizations. And Myron had probably five sets of leadership and strategies over really 5 or 6 years, and just couldn't figure it out and kept changing. And so we gave a very clear focus to the organization, what we're trying to do, how we're trying to do it, and needing everyone's help to get there, as well as adding new folks into the organization to help get us there.
Okay. All right, interesting. So it sounds like you've streamlined some things, and people are now rowing in the same direction a lot more, and that's going
to
help.
It's critical to do that in any organization, and I don't think that is something you take lightly, but it's easy to say that. It's harder to do that when a lot of people have different opinions and ways to get there. The other thing that we did was we invested millions of dollars in a new technology stack between NetSuite and Marketo and Salesforce and a new e-commerce platform. We're just focused on technology, automation, obviously AI, and using that, the data that we find, and creating automation with that. We've expanded with adding some industry people into the operations and product development and sales and other areas. I'm flattered. People have really come and wanted an opportunity at the ground floor to try to figure out how to grow with us. They know that I've done in the past. They know my partner Christian's done in the past, and outside of the industry, and are excited to be part of a growing, thriving company. This, lots of businesses have been through the ringer over the last many, many years, obviously, COVID and post COVID, and it's exciting to be part of a company that's growing and be able to look forward and invest in itself and in its people. And that's, for me, super exciting. That's really what I wanted to do all along, is build something, surround myself with really super smart people, and be able to grow and help other people be successful.
Interesting stuff. You mentioned your partner Christian there. Obviously, I think most people listening to this podcast know who you are, longtime owner, Primeline, member of Counselors, Power 50 list of most influential people in the industry for years. As you referenced before, you were part of spearheading acquisitions when you were with Prime. So a real industry legacy there. Christian, though, is, I want to say, at least for our industry, is a bit of an unknown entity. He's from Germany, as I understand it. What's his kind of professional background?
Well, I mean, he's been in the States for 20 something years.
Okay.
But he was with lots of different companies over the years. The Auto Group, for one. He's been in the mail order industry, telemarketing, mergers and acquisitions, turnarounds. And you know, we knew each other for many, many years when we were doing different modeling together on the Prime business, and trying to find ways to grow and scale that business. So we've really known each other and worked together for many years. And he has skill sets that I don't have, and vice versa. So it's a nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for that insight into him. I'm going to take the focus, if you will, off of, you know, Myron in particular a little bit, kind of pull it back more industry-wide. Do you think that we're going to see what I would call a growing internationalization of the promo business? And I don't mean supply chain, because of course we know our supply chains are international, have been internationalized for a few decades now. But sure. I'm talking more about like on the distributor side of the business, trying to do business internationally across borders. And of course, what's prompting this question is that, you know, you just made this acquisition in Germany. So what do you see happening there?
Yeah, but we're in a unique case. And the ability to work with certain clients across, you know, North America and Europe and service clients. In the past, Myron hasn't been that focused on sort of enterprise type accounts, and those are opportunities for sure. But I think there is opportunity. I mean, look at what Joanne Lance at Geiger's doing. Incredible stuff with acquisitions internationally. BDA is doing that. I mean, it's happening. It's hard though, because without the right infrastructure, the people, the vision, leadership, it's not easy to do. So we're going to see it, whether it translates into being able to service the customer, you know, across the same customer across North America, Europe, and wherever else, that remains to be seen. But certainly having opportunity to be able to grow value and grow business in multiple countries, you're going to see it. But it's definitely complex. It's complex to do it just in the States, you know, and just continue to grow your business here in the States.
So it sounds like it sounds like we may see more of it is kind of, I'm paraphrasing a bit, we may see more, but it's going to be kind of confined to, it sounds like, almost larger companies that have the ability to transact in that way and to make those moves, or am I putting words in your mouth?
I think that's true, but the beauty is that we can, I mean, Myron, in this case, we can partner with companies who need that presence in another country. If someone needs warehousing and imprinting and infrastructure in Europe, we can do that because we have an infrastructure there. We're not looking to be insular and just be, you know, look out for ourselves. We think that we could partner with distributors and or suppliers alike that want to expand their business, that want to maybe even sell their business. We want to work with, you know, we want to expand our sales team. If there's, you know, inside salespeople or outside salespeople that wanted to join an exciting growing organization, we haven't in the past done that. We've grown from within, and we will continue to do that because we have some amazing people. But we also will grow by adding people into the organization that makes sense, that have experience working with end users and so forth, but, you know, having experienced folks. But we have this great infrastructure that we want to leverage.
All right, great stuff. Just any final thoughts for any for the listeners here today?
Now, you know, I guess something I've been looking for my whole career, something my father said to me, is that when you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. And you know, I don't know if I ever really felt it at that visceral level in the past. You know, when I, you know, working in the industry for 30 years, I loved it. I loved the people and the business and all the things. But this is, you know, for me, I feel like I love what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a certain amount of flexibility. But, you know, to the extent that anyone can really make sure that you love what you're doing every day, it's not going to feel like work. And if you can look for that and make that happen, and it really makes a world of difference.
That's very good advice and a great place to end. Jeff Fletcher, thanks for joining me today. I so much appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chris.